The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter number 8, text number 21, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on May 15th, 2007, in Vilnius, Lithuania.
So today we are reading from the first canto, chapter number 8, text number 21 of Srimad Bhagavatam. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Krishnaya Vasudevaya,
Krishnaya Vasudevaya,
Devaki Nandanaya cha,
Devaki
Nanda Gopakumaraya,
Nanda Gopakumaraya,
Govindaya namo namaha.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Let me therefore offer my respectful obeisances unto the Lord, who has become the son of Vasudev, the pleasure of Devaki, the boy of Nanda and the other cowherd men of Vrindavan, and the enlivener of the cows and senses. Purport. The Lord, being thus unapproachable by any material assets, out of unbounded and causeless mercy, descends on the earth as He is, in order to show His special mercy upon His unalloyed devotees and to diminish the upsurges of the demoniac persons. Queen Kunti specifically adores the incarnation or descent of Lord Krishna above all other incarnations, because in this particular incarnation He is more approachable. In the Ram incarnation He remained a king's son from His very childhood. But in the incarnation of Krishna, although He was the son of a king, He had once left the shelter of His real father and mother, King Vasudev and Devaki, Queen Devaki, just after His disappearance, and went to the lap of Jashodamai to play the part of an ordinary cowherd boy in the blessed Rajabhumi, which is very sanctified because of His childhood pastimes. Therefore, Lord Krishna is more merciful than Lord Ram. He was undoubtedly very kind to Kunti's brother Vasudev and his family. Had He not become the son of Vasudev and Devaki, Queen Kunti could not claim Him to be her nephew and thus address Krishna in parental affection. But Nanda and Jashoda are more fortunate because they could relish the Lord's childhood pastimes, which are more attractive than all other pastimes. There is no parallel to His childhood pastimes as exhibited in Vrajabhumi, which are the prototypes of His eternal affairs in the original Krishna Loka, described as the Chintamani Dhamma in the Brahma Samhita. Lord Sri Krishna descended Himself at Vrajabhumi with all His transcendental entourage and paraphernalia. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore confirmed that no one is as fortunate as the residents of Vrajabhumi, and specifically the cowherd girls, who dedicated their everything for the satisfaction of the Lord. His pastimes with Nanda and Jashoda and His pastimes with the cowherd men, especially with the cowherd boys and cows, have caused Him to be known as Govinda. Lord Krishna as Govinda is more inclined to the Brahmins and the cows, indicating thereby that human prosperity depends more on these two items, namely Brahminical culture and cow protection. Lord Krishna is never satisfied where these are lacking.
Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata
Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadhaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamcha. So, these are the wonderful prayers of Queen Kunti. Kunti Devi is the greatest devotee of the Lord. Because she shows the perfect example of being completely surrendered to Krishna in all circumstances. She especially found that calamities were the most auspicious opportunity to become Krishna conscious. Therefore, in this chapter, she actually begs Krishna to please put her into a state of calamity. Of course, when one is in this mood of embracing calamity, one becomes completely free from calamity. If calamity is welcomed as a blessing, then where is calamity? It doesn't exist for such a devotee as Kunti Devi. Such a person has nothing to fear in any situation. So we can accept Kunti Devi as a role model. We can study these wonderful prayers in this chapter, prayers by Queen Kunti. And we can develop this mood of Kunti Devi. By so doing, we will fully enter into pure devotional service. And we will no longer feel the pinch of the material nature. At the present moment, we are very much being pinched by the material nature. We are experiencing three varieties of pinches. Adiatmic, Adibhautik, Adiatmic. Yes, the Adiatmic is miseries caused by the mind and the body. Adibhautik is miseries caused by other living beings. And Adidaivik is miseries caused by natural disasters. Like tsunamis. And now they are making big talk about global warming. They're very much afraid of global warming. New York City will go underwater. But actually, the ocean is under the control of Krishna. Prabhupada used to say that when he was walking on the beach. There's this huge body of water, these huge waves coming in. How is it they're keeping only to a certain point and not coming further? It is by the order of the Supreme, you see. So a devotee has nothing to fear from anything, because he knows that everything is under the order of the Supreme. Therefore, he simply fully engages himself in devotional service. In all times, all places and circumstances. And thus he derives great transcendental satisfaction. Simply relishing the thoughts of Krishna. In the same mood as Srimati Kunti Devi. Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya cha Nanda Gopa Kumaraya Govindaya Namo Namaha. You see, in this way, she is simply meditating deeply on that beautiful cowherd boy. The darling son of Devaki. The darling boy of Nanda Maharaj and the cowherd men, you see. That Krishna who enlivens the cows and the senses. We sometimes talk about being enlivened in Krishna consciousness. I'm really feeling enlivened today, Prabhu. Who gets the credit? Krishna is the supreme enlivener. Whenever you're feeling enlivened in Krishna consciousness, that is Lord Govinda, he's enlivening you with his potency. And ever we're feeling morose and depressed, what does that mean? Means we're an illusion. Because actually there's nothing miserable in this material world for one who is Krishna conscious. He sees everything as a blessing. That Krishna has given me this situation to increase my Krishna consciousness. Therefore, a devotee has nothing to fear from anything. Do you know that wonderful shloka in the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam? Tattenu kampam susamikshamano. Do any of you know that shloka? No? Tattenu kampam susamikshamano bunjana evatma kritang vapakam hridvagvapurvir vidadang namaste jiveta yom mukti pade sadaya bak. That my dear Lord, those persons who are constantly awaiting for your causeless mercy to be bestowed upon them, who go on offering you respectful obeisances from the core of their hearts, while they are suffering the reactions to their past misdeeds, are certainly eligible candidates for liberation. Indeed, it has become their rightful claim. The liberation is now their property. So my question to you devotees this morning is, who wants to be liberated? Do you want to be liberated? Yes. Do you want to be liberated? You want to be liberated? You want to be liberated? Would you like to be liberated? You see? Everyone would like to be liberated? You, everyone? All right, well, here's how to do it. If you want to become liberated right now, at this very minute, this verse is giving the key of how you can become liberated right now. Right now, during this class, one simply has to put oneself in the proper frame of mind. So, what is the description of this verse? What is that proper frame of mind? The frame of mind is to always be expecting the mercy of Krishna at every minute. That I know that Krishna is unlimitedly kind. And I know that He loves me more than I can ever love Him, really. But in spite of my inability to love Him fully, He is pouring unlimited mercy upon me at every minute. The devotee is thinking that, yes, Krishna is pouring that mercy upon me at every minute. And the devotee notices, well, I'm suffering in this way, I'm suffering in that way. But this suffering is actually the mercy of Krishna. Because I'm burning off the reactions from my past misdeeds. So therefore the devotee feels grateful when he's put into a suffering condition. Thank you, Krishna, for giving me this mercy. And what does he do when he feels grateful? He offers from within the innermost core of his heart, he's constantly offering obeisances to Krishna. So how does he offer obeisances to Krishna? Kunti Devi is showing it. Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya cha Nanda Gopa Kumaraya Govindaya Namo Namaha. So in this way, even though he's suffering so many reactions from past misdeeds, he understands this is all the mercy of the Lord, therefore he's constantly offering his obeisances in gratitude to the Lord. Such a person who is fully absorbed in this mood is considered to be already liberated. But what is the tendency in this world? The tendency is if we are suffering or we say, oh, there is no God. Or if there is a God, why is He being so cruel to me? We don't appreciate this is Krishna's mercy. So, this is the wonderful process, Krishna consciousness. If we will follow it sincerely and carefully,
Jei mes jo seksime nuoširdžiai ir atidžiai,
then we will achieve the supreme perfection of existence.
Tai pasieksime aukščiausią egzistavimo tobulumą.
And at the time of leaving this body,
ir tuo metu, kai palikinėsim šitą kūną,
we will go back to home, back to Godhead.
Nukeliausime atgal namo pas Dievą.
Therefore we should take it very seriously.
Todėl reikėtų labai rimtai priimti tai.
So why we are not taking it so seriously?
Kodėl mes nepriimam tai rimtai?
Do you know why we are not taking it so seriously?
Ar žinot, kodėl mes nepriimam tai rimtai?
Who can say? Can anyone of you say why we are not taking it seriously?
Kas nors gali pasakyti, kodėl?
Yes, and what is that? That craziness was described by Maharaj Yudhisthira. He has very nicely described our craziness.
Yeah.
You know that shloka?
Ar žino šitą šloką?
Mahabharata, Vanaparva, chapter 313. Yeah, the Vanaparva of the Mahabharata.
Mahabharata Vanaparva skyriuje.
Chapter 313. Text number 116.
309
text. Ahani ahani bhutani ganchantiya yamalyam. Shesha stavaram ichchami kim ashcharya mataha param. This describes our craziness. Yamaraj asked Yudhisthira, what is the most crazy thing? What is the most amazing phenomena in this world, you see? So Maharaj Yudhisthira very wisely answered that ahani ahani bhutani ganchantiya yamalayam. At every moment, countless numbers of living beings are being dragged to the court of Yamaraj, the Lord of Death. But those who are remaining here, what are they thinking? They're thinking, oh, I will live forever. You see, they have no conception that they're going to die. Even if they will say officially, yes, I will die, I know I'm going to die. But they don't really feel like they're going to die. And Yudhisthira explains there is nothing more wonderful than this. This is the greatest craziness. That around me everyone is dying. My mother has died. My sister has died. My father has died. My brother has died. My grandmother, my grandfather. My dog has also died, you see. My next door neighbor died. My prime minister died. My favorite football player died, you see. Around me, everybody's being taken away by death. But I'm thinking, oh, not me.
You see,
I am, somehow or other, I am immune to death. Therefore, we do not take the process of Krishna consciousness seriously. You see, if I could guarantee you that you were going to die in 5 minutes from now, that in 5 minutes you would definitely leave your body, Would you get serious right now about Krishna consciousness? You see, would you get serious? 5 minutes, I'm going to leave my body. Would you think about making some money? Would you think about finding a sex partner to enjoy some sex life? Would you think about cooking a dinner? What would there be to do if you had 5 minutes left? You simply bow down at the feet of Guru and Krishna and offer your obeisances and beg their mercy that you can remain fixed in thoughts of them at the moment of death. That's all.
Jūs paprasčiausiai nusilenktumėt Guru ir Krishna ir prašytumėt jų malonės, kad mirties sekundę galėtumėt palikti panyrę į mintis apie juos.
So is there anybody in this room who can guarantee they will live longer than 5 minutes from right now?
Ar yra šiame kambarį nors vienas žmogus, kuris gali garantuoti, kad jis gyvens ilgiau negu 5 minutės nuo dabar?
Can anyone of you guarantee you will live for 5 more minutes?
Ar kas nors iš jūsų gali tai garantuoti?
No, you cannot guarantee.
Jūs negalite.
You see? So why we don't take it seriously? Why we don't fully absorb ourselves in Krishna consciousness right now? Because as this devotee has very nicely stated, we are crazy. And what is that craziness? I'm thinking I'm a man. You are thinking you're a man, or you are thinking you're a woman. I'm thinking I'm American. You are thinking you are Lithuanian. This is a dream state. This is not the actual reality. Therefore, what does Lord Chaitanya say? Jeev jago, jeev jago. Wake up, you living entities, you see. Lord Chaitanya is calling, Gorachandra bole, kota nidra jao maya, pisachira kole. Wake up, you sleeping soul. How long will you sleep in the lap of the witch called Maya?
Kiek laiko jūs jau mėgojate šitas raganos vadinamas Maja glėbėje?
So, this Krishna consciousness movement
ir šis Krishna sąmonės judėjimas
is like a big alarm clock.
Yra kaip panašus į didžiulį žadintuvą.
Our program is to wake up the whole world.
Ir mūsų programa yra, kad pažadinti visą pasaulį.
We want that everyone should become enlightened in the science of Krishna consciousness. Because at the present moment, everyone is suffering without Krishna consciousness. A devotee of the Lord is by nature compassionate. He is tasting the highest happiness within himself at every minute.
Jis jaučia didžiausią palaimą savyje kiekvieną minutę.
But yet he can see that around him so many people are suffering.
Ir to pačiu mato, kad aplinkui tiek daug žmonių kenčia.
He can simply look at the faces of the people around and see how much people are suffering. It's written on their faces.
Jis žiūri į žmonių veidus ir mato, kaip jie kenčia, kaip parašyta ant jų veidų.
So he thinks, how can I have gotten this mercy of Guru and Krishna.
Ir jis galvoja, kaip aš gavęs šitą malonę iš Guru ir Krishnos.
Now how I can give this mercy so that these people who are suffering, they can become fully happy also.
Kaip aš galėčiau ją perduoti, kad šitie kenčiantys žmonės taip pat taptų laimingais.
This is what it means to be a devotee, you see.
Štai ką reiškia būti atsidavusiai.
To be fully absorbed in sharing the mercy of Krishna with everyone.
Pilnai pasinerti į tai, kad dalintis Krishnos malonė su visais.
This is the wonderful mood of Kunti Devi.
Tai yra nuostabi Kunti Devi nuotaika.
A full absorption in Krishna consciousness.
Kaip pilnai pasinerti į Krishna sąmonę.
If we will follow in her footsteps.
Jeigu seksime jos pėdomis.
then we will become pure devotees of the Lord. Our lives will become completely happy and peaceful. And thousands and millions of people will be attracted to join this Krishna consciousness movement. So I thank you very much for your kind attention. And I would like to ask now if any of you have any questions.
In regards to we are all insane.
To what?
In regards that we are all insane.
Insane, yes.
It means that we are in Tamaguna.
Tamaguna and Rajaguna. Combination, yeah. A little sattva thrown in there too.
Yeah.
Rajagun means we're very eager for material progress. We want sense gratification. We're very fired up to get sense gratification. Tamagun means we become unhappy because of unfulfilled desires. So we think, well, let me just go to sleep or become intoxicated and forget about everything. And sattvagun means. And sattvagun is a sincere desire to get out of this rajagun, tamagun. It remains sattvagun as long as the tinges of passion and ignorance remain. That sattvaguna remains as sattvaguna. It remains sattvaguna as long as the passion and ignorance tinges remain. Understand? In other words, sattvaguna means there's still some tinges of passion and ignorance. But when that sattvaguna becomes completely free of all tinges of passion and ignorance, that is called Vishuddha sattva. That is called pure goodness. So, the first step is to become situated in the mode of goodness. Which means when you are sincerely trying to free yourself from rajagun tamagun. Nashta paishva badreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavat yuttama shloki bhagavat bhaktir bhavati naishtaki. By serving the pure devotee and by regularly hearing the Bhagavatam, all that is inauspicious within the heart. What is that inauspiciousness? Rajagun Tamagun. All that inauspiciousness, that Rajagun Tamagun, it becomes almost destroyed. That's called sattvaguna, you see. There's still a little rajagun tamagun left. But then from there, it becomes destroyed almost to nil, and then unalloyed service unto the Supreme Lord becomes established as an irrevocable fact.
Bet nuo to momento, kai lieka tik tai šiek tiek, tu raža ir tą magūnas požymį, tai nepriežastinė tarnyba viešpačiai.
So the first step is to become in the mode of goodness. That's Brahman platform, Brahman. And then one becomes perfect in the ramanical culture, becomes completely free of all tinges of passion ignorance. Then he actually becomes Vaishnava, you see. The real meaning of Vaishnava is he is completely pure, and that's Vaishnava. So even though we claim to be devotees, actually we're aspiring to be devotees, really. We have not yet become actual devotees, because we're still devoted to sense gratification. So, yeah, we have to become perfect in our practice, and then we become actually Vaishnavas in the full, complete sense of the term Vaishnava. Any other questions? Everyone, yes.
You were talking in English about death.
So, atsidavus jis, vienais kitais tenka pašnekėt, kad daugelis atsidavus jis bijo.
And then, you're speaking with devotees, a lot of devotees are afraid of death. If there was 5 minutes left, as you were saying in this lecture, that you think that most of us will become afraid of death. In which stage of devotional service, Shraddha, Sadhu, Sangha, there is no fear of death left. Mm.
So at which stage in one's spiritual progress does one become free of the fear of death? I don't recall reading anywhere in Prabhupada's books the answer to that question. But I do remember something now. Yes, now something comes to memory. Prabhupada says, from the moment of initiation, one achieves deathlessness. So actually, I do know the answer to your question. If one takes bhajana kriya with complete, total absorption, which means the initiation, bhajana kriya. If one fully takes the shelter of one's guru, then now I am initiated. I have no other service except to obey my guru's orders for all of eternity. I really have only one duty, and that's to serve my guru's order eternally. Anyone, even at the stage of bhajana kriya, who has fully embraced the mood of a bhajana kriyi, or whatever the word is, someone, what's a bhajana kriya person? In English you could say a bhajana kriyite, but you know, the point is somebody who has fully accepted bhajana kriya with a complete absorption, they become free from the fear of death immediately. Look at it like this, Prabhu. If I I said, Prabhu, I have some good news for you. I have a free ticket for you to fly to Vrindavan. It's a free ticket to Vrindavan. You go, wow, I've been wanting to go to the Holy Dawn for quite a while, and I haven't been able to afford it. Give me a free ticket to Vrindavan? Well, when does the plane leave? Well, actually, it's getting ready to take off from the Vilnius airport pretty soon. You got 5 minutes to pack your bags. Would you be terrified or would you be enlivened? Would you be terrified or enlivened? Is it? You just have to have the proper perspective, that's all. You simply have to be pundit. You have to be able to have the vision of a pundit, a learned brahmana. You have to always see things exactly as they are. And then if Narada Muni comes and says, I've come to give you a free ticket to Goloka Vrindavan, you go, wow, that's great, that's wonderful, Hare Krishna. So actually we have nothing to be afraid of death. How can a devotee be afraid of death? Does it make any sense for a devotee to be afraid of death? It means they're forgetting our philosophy. It means they're forgetting Krishna. How could a devotee be afraid of death? It doesn't make any sense. We already died when we got initiated. Initiation is practical death. You see? That I give up identification with this material body. I simply see everything as Krishna's property. So any initiated devotee, they already died. They're already dead. And now they're living in their eternal spiritual identity as a servant of Guru and Krishna. So for a devotee to be afraid of death, it doesn't make any sense. It's insane for a devotee to be afraid of death. Yeah. Yeah. The trouble is we're insane. The problem is we are insane. Even though we took initiation, most of us here, still we haven't fully absorbed ourselves in that mood that I'm simply the property of my guru, that's all. That's the problem. We're thinking, well, I'm the husband of such and such, or the wife of such and such, I'm the employee of such and such. You know, so many material things clutter our consciousness. We forget the actual reality. That this whole material world is just a dream. Just like when the curtain opens, you can see the Lord standing in front of you. So death, for a devotee, death means the curtain's open, that's all. You've been waiting to see Krishna. And now the curtain's open. Darshan time. For a devotee, death simply means darshan time. Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Vajami. It means you have the most ecstatic darshan you ever had. That's the moment of death.
Krishna
But if you're too afraid of death, what will happen? Well, you'll have to take birth again. So don't be afraid of death. If you're too afraid, it means you're not ready to go back to Godhead. So we have to chant some good rounds. We have to have quality hearing. Hearing our japa, hearing the philosophy of the Bhagavatam, we have to have quality hearing. That quality hearing will drive away the madness, the insanity. So, are there any other questions? Everyone's satisfied now? Okay.
I wanted to ask if it is said that one can achieve perfection in one moment.
Yeah.
And on the other hand, it is said that Krishna is not so cheap and one has to spend a lot of time and energy to achieve perfection. So, how to understand it?
Yes, but it's a... There are two states of consciousness. One who is purely Krishna conscious, a liberated soul, and one who is not. You're either a pure devotee or you're not a pure devotee. Of course, there are people who are endeavoring to become pure devotees. But they are not yet pure devotees. So, for every soul there who is trying to become a pure devotee, there will, sooner or later, come that moment when they actually achieve pure devotional service. There's no set timetable. Well, you have, like when you go up for a college degree, you have to wait for 4 years, you know. There is no set timetable for pure devotional service. You have to wait for, 10 lifetimes. There's nothing written down somewhere. Well, you have to, you have to spend this many hours, washing pots, this many hours distributing books. It doesn't work that way. That pure devotional service can be achieved at any moment. It is simply according to the quality of your consciousness. With what mood are you distributing books? With what mood are you washing the Lord's plates? With what mood are you serving your guru? It simply depends on your mood. As a general rule, most of us will, we'll spend our whole life trying to develop it. And at the last moment, we might not even be completely there yet. Because we still, in all likelihood, will still be battling it out with our material mind, even at the moment of death. And Krishna can, if he feels we are sufficiently ready, he can kindly take us back to home, back to Godhead. But one does not have to wait for the moment of death to enter into the pure Krishna consciousness. I know, because Prabhupada wrote me one letter one time. I was, before I joined this movement, I was a songwriter. So I was thinking, well, maybe I could write songs for Krishna. Of course, Prabhupada told me, you can write songs, that's all right. But then he gave me advice on how to really, really write the highest, best quality of songs that could possibly be written. Songs like Narottam Das Thakur writes. Prabhupada gave me an instruction how I could write songs on the level of Narottam Das Thakur. So he was talking about something that I would do while I was still in this body. He told me the way to become qualified to write songs is on this, with the same potency as Narottam Das. He said, now you just qualify yourself to see Krishna face to face. He was telling me, now you become a completely pure devotee who can see Krishna face to face. And then you can write songs like Narottam Das Thakur writes. So Prabhupada was clearly talking to me, telling me to achieve that state of perfection even while I was in this body, to become a liberated soul. He wasn't saying, well, you know, just chant, do the best you can, and when you go back to Gaudiya, then you can write songs then about Krishna. They will be completely, you know, completely in the proper mood of pure bhakti. And he's telling me to do it in this body. So, one should aspire for pure devotion. Every minute you should try to be putting yourself in that mood of pure devotion. And if you keep doing that, day after day, moment after moment, there, if you focus yourself very intensely to always put myself in the mood of pure bhakti, guess what will happen? At one moment you will actually achieve it. If I'm not trying to achieve a mood of pure bhakti, how long will it take? But if I'm trying to achieve pure bhakti at every minute, with my every thought, my every word, and my every deed, in all times, all places, and all circumstances, doesn't it make sense that I'll achieve it much quicker?
Yeah,
of course it does. So we should strive for excellence. Strive for perfection in everything we do. If you're stringing a garland, try to make it perfect. If you're preaching, try to preach purely. To inspire that person to become a pure devotee. If you're chanting your rounds, try to do them perfectly. If you're honoring prasadam, do it in a mood of love and devotion. If you're taking darshan of the Lord, try to think, well, what is the, how can I do this in a mood of complete 100% pure devotion? In this way, try to do everything perfectly. And your spiritual perfection will come much quicker that way. So I think we can stop here. So I will be coming and giving a lecture this evening. Hope to see you then. Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.